What would you do if you were receiving an inheritance and your girlfriend stole $40,000 from you? Would you flip out? This call on the Dave Ramsey Show wants to know answers just like you. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, Say the Darndest Things in My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, we have a caller that said, my girlfriend stole $40,000 from me and she still lives with him. This is crazy. Well, let's tune in. Let's hear a story and how we can actually protect ourselves from things like this.
Brought to you by the Every Dollar app. Start budgeting for free today.
So I'm receiving an inheritance from a family member that had passed away, right? And I currently am living with my girlfriend Kelly. And when I first started getting the inheritance, she was like directed as like a payee, as like a watchover guide type of thing for me with my money. And I just recently found out that about around $30,000 to $40,000 is just gone from that I should have saved in a bank account, and it's just missing. Don't know where it's at. How can I like legally try to go about getting my money back and returned to me?
You're saying you put your girlfriend on your account and she stole your money?
Yes.
Wait. Is that what he's saying? He said that she was appointed a payee in this inheritance. So that's not the same thing as putting somebody on your account. So I don't want to play detective here. Well, I am going to play detective here. Somebody appointed her. So did you appoint her as payee on the account? Because it's your inheritance, so it should have went to you. But you're saying somebody appointed her. So either they feel you're not responsible, or they felt like, or maybe you relinquished your right to your girlfriend because you think maybe she was smarter or that she could handle the business better than you. I don't know. I don't know what was going through your head, but he said you put her on your account. That's something totally different. That's making her a joint owner, not necessarily making her a payee over the process. But once again, these are just questions that are going through my financial planning head. I'm going to keep listening and see what exactly they're talking about, because Dave Ramsey told him what was going on, but this guy didn't pick it up, I don't think, because those two statements are not matching.
There's no like receipts. There's no nothing.
And why is she not the ex-girlfriend?
Right.
I'm trying to figure that one out myself as well.
Yeah, me too. Because I got about a 3.5 second rule on this one, buddy.
I have a low threshold for dating criminals and people who committed fraud against me.
Right.
Yeah, I've asked her about it, and she's verbally admitted to it, but there's nothing. I don't know. I think.
Well, what did she do with the money, pray tell?
I don't know.
Well, did you ask her?
Wait, time out. Is he making this story up? He said there's no paper trail. Did y'all hear that? I mean, I heard it. So you're telling me someone took $40,000, but there's no paper trail. There's no transfer of assets into the account. There's no transactions made. There's no withdrawals. I mean, we live in a digitized society. I mean, maybe if this was in like 1960, I can understand. But I mean, in the 2000s and beyond, I mean, we have these transactions available. Maybe the statute of limitations were gone. I mean, sometimes banks don't keep records longer than like 7 years or 8 years. That may be the case, but even then they can kind of go back into the vault if you really, really want to know. This is weird. And I mean by weird, it's like this situation is not normal. Either he's not communicating the situation properly, or Dave Ramsey's not understanding it. But I mean, long story short, yeah, you don't trust thieves. That would have been a red flag for me as well. And yeah, she would have been the ex-girlfriend.
You stole my $40,000. Where the hell is my money? This is how this sounds.
A natural line of questioning.
She literally tells me, I don't know. That's literally it.
Yeah. I literally don't know where you're going to be living by nightfall, because I'm setting all your crap out in the street.
Right. And then I've had a good friend of mine, my buddy, that's my one of my neighbors. He's helped me with it and tried to add up and do some financial like checking with it. And a couple of times that's how we found out about this. And a couple of times I've actually had to, I've gotten like back pay with my inheritance a couple of different times for 2 years. And
that David, is she still on the account today, honey?
No, she is not. I have my.
Is she still living in your house?
Yes.
Why?
But she has nothing. She has nothing to do with my bank account.
Why is she still in your house?
I'm renting. I don't
know. You need the rent money?
No.
We're both on the same lease together for our.
Are you? Is your phone cutting out, or is somebody in the background?
Somebody's talking to him.
I'm with my friend. He's with me as well.
He's telling you what to say.
Telling them what to say. Yep.
He's helping me like with.
Okay. David, how old are you?
Right.
I'm 29 years old, sir.
What do you do for a living, sir?
I currently do not have a job at the moment.
Dave is onto something. Dave's ears are ringing now. So first he appoints his girlfriend to look over. This is making more sense now. Now we get more information. Do you see why I withhold my judgment till I can get more and more facts? Because you gain clarity with information. Even Dave is starting to question himself, like, hey, how old are you? Like, what's your situation? First, your girlfriend is on your account managing your money. Now you have somebody in the background talking for you, telling you what to say. Where he's trying to get a judgment. He's not trying to be rude, but he's just saying, like, how old are you? You know, what do you do for a living? What he's trying to understand is his level of intellect, his ability to articulate thoughts, to comprehend, to all those type of things. And because I think Dave is leading to the fact that you may need like a guardian, or you may need somebody to help you out, because this is beyond just this is beyond just money. And if she can convince him to stay in the house after stealing $40,000, and all she has to do is say, I don't remember, and he accepts it and goes with it, that's something. There's something there.
Why?
I'm looking for a new job.
Why?
I lost my job.
Okay. Why?
If I'm going to be honest about it, from my past substance abuse.
Okay.
Yep.
That's fair. How long has it been since you've worked?
Honestly, about 4 or 5 months, about almost 5 months.
Okay. All right. I think you need more and better counsel in your life than just your friend who's trying to help you. And I'm glad he's trying to help you, but you need some other folks in your life to help guide you through putting your life together in a way that this kind of thing doesn't happen to you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And so, you are in the Minneapolis area, all right? And so,
yes,
what I'm going to do is Christian's going to pick up when I put you on hold, and we're going to connect you with a good local church there and get some of the pastoral team to come around you and help guide you back into a career and guide you to make sure that these kinds of things aren't happening to you, help you stay sober.
Yep.
Help you with your sobriety, and help you put together a life that that doesn't leave you vulnerable to this kind of thing. And that's going to include, my suggestion is that this lady needs to leave your home today, okay?
Whew. Brothers and sisters, this was some good advice by Dave Ramsey. He caught on. He got it. He got it close. It was close. The guy was saying all the right things. But you see how he was asking questions that weren't really related to the money? Financial advisors do that. They say, what's the problem behind the problem? You know, we're talking about this $40,000 and you're like, okay, let's focus on the money. It's like, no, we can't just focus on the money, because obviously there's a behavior that is causing these outcomes and we need to get to the root of it. So he asked him, you know, what he did for work. He asked him, you know, how old he was. And he asked you, and he asked a very important question. Why did you get let go? And he said, because of past substance abuse. Right? So now we understand that there was a cause for him needing guidance, or for him needing someone to help him out. Now, also, we have to think birds of a feather flock together. So if he had a substance abuse, you can only assume that his girlfriend, who was still staying with him, had a substance abuse too. So they saw the inflow of money as an opportunity to do more drugs. And if you're under the influence, it's hard to be clear of mind. Now, once again, substance abuse has prolonged effects. Sometimes they take months or maybe even years to see those effects. And we're seeing this now in his speech and his ability to reason and to think. He can't think with a clear mind. I'm not saying that he's not sober, but I am saying during those times, he may not have been in the right mind. So, brothers and sisters, how do we protect ourselves from someone stealing $40,000 out of our account? Well, brothers and sisters, there's different ways to add people to your account. And one of them is you can add them as a joint owner. As a joint owner, they have access to everything. They can take money out. They can put money in. It's literally like 100% and 100%. So it's not this theoretical 50-50. You both have 100% access to the money, no matter where the money comes in. So even if you put in 90% of the money, they put in only 10, they still have 100% access. So if you have $100,000, they can go into the bank one day and says, hey, I want all these $100,000, take it out, close it, put it in their own account. Now you don't have access to it. That can happen with a joint owner. So some of the recommendations we have is that instead of putting them as a joint owner on the main account, what you can do, you can open up a separate account and you could put the money you are comfortable losing. So whether it was $10,000 or $5,000, make them a joint owner there and you can keep your assets somewhere separate. And brothers and sisters, you know what I'm going to say next. He needs his financial five. He needs his financial advisor. He needs his accountant. He needs his lawyer. He needs his power of attorney and he needs his executor. I don't care that he's 29 years old. He can still get these people, whether on retainer or hire them ad hoc. This inheritance seems like something he's going to have to deal with year over year. His parents may have been wealthy, or maybe it was an auntie or someone like that. They want to make sure he was okay. But what they didn't do is set him up with help. So they did give him the money and that's great, but they did not pass on the values and the ability to manage money. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing him lose $40,000 of the inheritance to a girlfriend that obviously loves to steal or maybe even has a substance abuse herself. So brothers and sisters, I don't want this to happen to you. If you need to learn about some of the terminology and things you need to know or know the things you don't know, make sure you download our Four Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a 19-page beginner's guide to saving for retirement. It goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. This will be the fourth pillar here, wealth transfers. We want to do more than just transfer our money. We want to transfer our values. We want to transfer what we believe in and our money management skills, or risk everything you saved your life for being taken by someone's girlfriend for substances that maybe you don't approve of. Okay. Well, if you love videos like this, make sure you subscribe, make sure you like and share. And you know what? You know what you could do for me? Do me a favor. Just listen or watch another video. That's all you have to do. If you go watch another video, that really helps me. You can actually check out some of our playlists. We go over retirement scams. One lady actually lost $98,000 to an online love scam. Another woman lost $1 million after her husband was diagnosed with dementia, and she lost $1 million, was living in a hotel. It's just some crazy stories out there. But the reason I bring them to you is because they're real. They can happen to any one of us. So the more you know, the more you can protect yourself, because investing and growing your wealth is more than just the growth part. It's about protection and making sure you don't fall victim and lose your life savings to these scams. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.